peace in these times. Is it possible to have true peace today? Peace with God, oneself, and with other people? Can we obtain release from our anxiety and fears, whether they be in the realm of the physical, emotional, material, financial, or social? Is there a place to find peace in the midst of pain? It is a privilege to share with you my experience, for in it I have found the answer to life's perplexing problems. Yes, everyone can possess true peace in the midst of distressing circumstances. Every effect in life demands a cause. Unrest, fear, worry, and anxiety are crushing men and women today, because many have failed to recognize the basic cause that has produced these effects. Most people would have justice and goodness rule the world, but they do not. Within man is a nature that is prone to do evil or sin. Society may call it by other terms, but the Bible calls it sin. In the Bible we read, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not," Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. These words, penned many years ago by King Solomon of Israel, under the inspiration of Almighty God, certainly are true. There are many just people, kind people, generous and courteous people in the world, but they, along with the outward sinner, are also sinners. In another verse in the Bible we read, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." How is sin connected to the present unrest within people and the world? The answer is given in the Holy Scriptures, in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Sin severs a person's lifeline to God, thereby loosing him or her to drift aimlessly on the sea of life. As a result of sin and subsequent separation from the blessing of God, we must face the many problems that press in upon us today. It is not God's will that anyone should live in sin and its results. But men and women, of their own volition, choose to make their own way without God. Unforgiven sin not only separates from the blessings of God in this life, but it condemns people to an eternal hell. Yes, the Bible does teach a literal hell, which is a place of eternal suffering after physical death. In Psalm 9, verse 17, we read, "The wicked," or sinners, "shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." The Hebrew word for hell is Sheol, and it means the place of departed spirits. There is much unbelief and joking about hell, but this does not abolish nor minimize the reality and awfulness of such a place, which the Bible says truly exists. There are many Bible verses that describe hell, among them Ezekiel chapter 32, verses 17 through 32, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14, Proverbs 15, verse 24, Matthew 11, verse 23, Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. If you have a Bible, I invite you to look up these verses and read for yourself what it says about hell. When a person dies, the body is placed in the grave, but the spirit and soul go either to heaven or to hell. There is no sin in heaven, no sin with God. Therefore, a person must be cleansed of sin to have the assurance of going to heaven after physical death. What are we to do about sin? Can we rid ourselves of sin by living a good life, by giving to charity, by fasting and praying. We read in the Bible that the good works of a person will not save him or her in the day that they sin. This is in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 18. In Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6, we are told that our own righteousness or good works are as filthy rags in God's sight. A person is not forgiven of sin by being good. Good deeds do not cleanse us of our sins. According to God and His Word in the Bible, men and women cannot work their way to heaven by good deeds. How then can we be forgiven of our sins? There is a remedy. There is a way to be forgiven of sin, a way to restoration to God, a way to have answers to prayer, a way to real peace with God and joy in this life. The unveiling of this way to God begins in the first book of the Jewish Holy Scripture. God called out Abram, later called Abraham, that through him God might bring blessing to the world. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we read, "Now the Lord God had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." God's plan of blessing for the world would be brought to pass through the descendants of Abraham. Through Moses, the Lord gave us the law, by which men and women were given a way of covering for sin in the atonement on Yom Kippur and through daily sacrifices for sins. For a complete picture, read the 16th chapter in the Bible book of Leviticus. Simply stated, the atonement was the sacrifice of a specified animal for the sins of a man or a woman. When people sinned, if they repented and wanted God's forgiveness, they would then bring the specified animal sacrifice to the Jewish priest, who offered the sacrifice to God. The blood of the animal was shed and placed upon the altar. The principle is given in Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, where we read, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul." This principle of the law has never been revoked by God. In order for us to find cleansing from sin, we must have the blood of atonement. Where can this atonement be found today? It is impossible to offer sacrifices to God as was done in Israel in ages past, in the tabernacle and in the temple in Jerusalem, since the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. How do we receive the blessing today that was promised through Abraham? From the early record of Scripture, the Lord God revealed through the Jewish prophets that He would provide an eternal plan of forgiveness of sin. We find in the Scriptures that He would send one to earth to die for the sins of the people. This eternal person would be born as a child into the world, live a perfect life, and then die as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. This one would be raised from the dead and ascend into heaven to the right hand of God. Any man or woman who would believe in this divine one and accept Him as his or her sin-bearer, would be cleansed from all sin and have assurance of eternity with God in heaven. I ask you to seriously consider the following Old Testament prophetic scriptures, which substantiate the life of this divine person who is called the Messiah. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 26, we read, "After 72 sevens shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself." The Messiah is eternal, perfect, since he came from God. In Isaiah chapter 48, verse 16, we find these words, "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and His Spirit hath sent me." This Eternal One who was from the beginning is one in the Godhead, and yet He is sent into the world by God and the Spirit of God. So we have three divine eternal beings in this one verse. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The son that is born is called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. His birthplace is given in the Bible book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." The Messiah would come to earth as a baby in Bethlehem, yet He was from everlasting past. He is an eternal one in the Godhead. The Messiah's death for the sins of mankind is proclaimed in Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 12. We read these very important verses that were written about 700 B.C. "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He is taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge," or by knowing him, or by believing in him, "shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." In these verses we read that this person would grow up, he would be rejected by some people, yet he would bear the griefs and sorrows of men and women. He would be wounded for the sins of the people. They would be able to find peace because of his suffering in their place if they trust in him. All people have sinned, and God laid on this one the sins of the people. He suffered, and yet did not fight back. He was in prison and was brought to trial. He was then slain and buried in a rich man's tomb. Men and women who believe in this one's sacrifice for their sins are forgiven, for it says, "He shall bear their iniquities." He lives again after his death and prays for sinners. According to the scriptures quoted, God is satisfied with the sin offering of this one who is the Messiah. When men and women believe in the Messiah and accept him as their sacrifice for sin, God forgives the sinner. The prophecy of Daniel 9, verses 24 through 26, fixes for us the approximate time of the death of the Messiah for the sins of the world. Time will not permit an explanation of these verses, but careful study reveals that his death would be in A.D. 32 to A.D. 33. Write to us or email us for the details of this great prophecy. The Word of God here says the Messiah would die for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins. This would happen before the Jewish temple in Jerusalem would be destroyed. The temple was destroyed in 70 A.D. So we know that Messiah would come before 70 A.D. and die for our sins. The prophecy of the resurrection of the Messiah and his ascension to the right hand of God in heaven is given in Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, "Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." King David spoke of God and then another Lord above himself. This is the Messiah. Psalm 16, verse 10 also speaks of the resurrection of the Messiah. Thou, God, will not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. After his return to God, Messiah would, at a later time, return to the earth to bring peace to Israel and the world. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6 speaks of this. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord," or God, "our righteousness." The first coming of the Messiah would provide the sacrifice whereby those who accepted it would find forgiveness of sin and peace with God, individual peace. At his second coming to earth, the Messiah will bring peace to Israel and the world, universal peace. This is yet before us, and perhaps not too far off. To whom does this description apply? Who is the Messiah? Has he come the first time and died as a sin offering for our sins? Do not permit the atheistic comments of some people, the prejudiced statements of others, or any teaching to hinder you from an open-minded examination of the facts that are vital to our relationship to God. Upon studying the prophecies about Messiah with the New Testament record of the life of Jesus, we have found that he is the promised Jewish Messiah. I would urge you to read the first four books of the New Testament, beginning with the book of Matthew. These scriptures give conclusive proof that Messiah Jesus was sent to earth by God, born of a Jewish virgin, lived a perfect life, performed miracles, said he is the Messiah, died for the sins of men and women, providing the blood of atonement for us, was buried in a rich man's tomb, was raised from the dead, and ascended to the right hand of God in heaven. Bible verses on these truths are easily found in the first four books of the New Testament, which are biographies of the life of Messiah Jesus. Acceptance of Jesus as my Messiah and sin-bearer has brought forgiveness of sin to me, peace with God, and assurance of heaven when I die. Yes, I know I will spend eternity with God, in the place He has prepared in heaven for those who trust Him and His Word, the Bible. Peace comes through faith in the promises of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we read, "For He, God, hath made Him, Messiah Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Who His own self, Messiah, bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness." The Bible book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8 states, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us." 1 John chapter 5, verses 10-13, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." We praise God for the peace that He has given through Abraham's seed, Messiah Jesus, to those who believe. Ask God to reveal to you the truth of the Bible. As you believe, you too will find peace now and for all eternity. There will be no fear of death and the unknown future, for your life will be in God's hands. As believers pray and trust the Lord for daily strength and provision, God will give us peace and joy. A wonderful new life awaits the person who seeks God, repents of his sin, and accepts Jesus as Messiah and Savior. We read in God's Word, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is yet near." Should you have any questions about God, the Messiah, and the way to have personal peace from God, write to me, George Gruen, at Post Office Box 156, Ephrata, that's Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. Visit us on the internet at www.godandjews.org. God be with you to lead you in His ways, to know His peace for today and for all eternity.